Hello, all you lovely listeners. Well, actually, I don't know if you're lovely because you don't see me and I don't see you. You could be really ugly. But either way, we don't care how you look because we just care that your ears work. So hello out there, lovely or ugly listeners. I am Emily.
And I'm Elb.
And this is Oh My Word. So I hope you're in the right place. And if you thought you were going to listen to something else and now I said Oh My Word and you're like, oh, this isn't where I'm meant to be. You're here now, and you should stay, because
we're lovely people, even if you're not.
That's why. Thank you. Yeah, I knew there was a reason why. I just couldn't quite get there.
But you just have to take our word for it, because you can't see us either. So you just have to trust that we're lovely people.
Yes. Well, you can tell by our beautiful voices that we're beautiful people.
No one has seen my face in at least 9 weeks. How's that suit?
I actually don't really know if it's still out under that hazmat suit. I think it is, and most logic would indicate that it is, but it could be like a really good voice impressionist.
You'll never know.
Okay, so now I'm a little freaked out. Elt, if that's your real name.
Yeah, speaking about dark situations, that's actually a good lead-in to the books that we're going to talk about today, Six of Crows, and also kind of sort of Crooked Kingdom. This is a duology by Leigh Bardugo, if that's how you pronounce her name. And it was a
duology. Can we just take a moment and focus on the word duology?
Okay.
I like the word duology. And when number one, is there a one-ology? Like, what's it called when you just write one book?
A standalone. I know, less exciting.
We have to come up with a better word for that.
Maybe it's an unology. Unology.
Unology. Unology, duology. You see, because it's funny also, because duology, you focus on the ology part, but trilogy, you don't say
trilogy. Trilogy. That's true.
So, I guess because it's duology, trilogy, but it's logy instead of logy. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is why I don't sleep at night.
Yeah. And also because it's a recently made up word. Well, maybe not recently, but sometimes if you type it in, you'll get a red line for it, but this is the way it is. And also because four books is distology, so where'd they get that word from? Instead of quadrology, it's a distology.
That just sounds wrong.
That's how it goes.
I'm going to write the letter while you continue talking about it.
Yeah. So Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom, they take place, if anybody's familiar with Leigh Bardugo, and now actually I think her original series is getting a Netflix series, I think, so she's probably about to become even more popular than she already is, and she already is super popular. But her original trilogy is called the Grisha Trilogy, and she has other books also. So Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom take place in the same universe as the Grishaverse, but you don't have to be familiar with it. It does give you a little sense of background, but I hadn't read the Grisha verse and Emily had, and I was still able to be immersed in the world without, sure, you don't have different certain backstories, but it's not necessary to know. So the ratings though, even though I guess this could be considered a heist book, we're dealing with criminals and they have to go pull off this whole situation, and it's definitely one of the better heist books out there. I once spoke as a visiting author in a school, and to fifth graders, maybe it was sixth graders, and they came over to me afterwards, and these two girls, all they want to know is if I had read this book. And thank God I had at that point, so that worked out very well. And it's interesting what they said about some of the characters were kind of things that we had already discussed about the characters, so it was interesting that they were getting that also. But anyway, it's kind of like a heist book, and we're dealing with a bunch of criminals. Our ratings though, so many pearls were being clutched. All of them. Okay. Like all of them. Violence is a 4. Language is a 4. Romance is 3. This is definitely an older teen. This is definitely for older young adults. And adults definitely can read it, but definitely older young adults.
Absolutely. I mean, the violence makes sense because it's a heist So there's, you know, knives being thrown and people being kidnapped and, you know, all sorts of violence going on. And it's also set in a sort of like steampunk kind of world, because there's magic, but there's also science, and it feels like mid 19th century. So anyway, and it's just whenever there's a heist and there's sort of an adventure book, there's going to be violence. But in this one, it's not just your regular we're busting out of here type of violence. There's like gladiator style cage fights in a prison. The two main girls are both ex brothel employees.
It talks about being forced on like the brothel situation, like being forced to do stuff. Doesn't go into a lot of detail, but all this stuff is spoken about.
Yeah,
it's dark.
And that's definitely violence at an upper level on our scale. There's also a lot of eye stuff. Eyes getting poked out, eyes getting shot out. We're not really sure what Leigh Bardugo's obsession with eyes is, but that happens a lot. The violence can be a little graphic, so the violence is a 4. Language, you know, I was actually disappointed by language, because I was reading through the book and I was really paying attention to the language, and there was really nothing for 3/4 of the book, and then the F word. And if it weren't for that one instance of it, which was also distressing only because Leigh Bardugo creates such a vivid world, it was sort of disappointing that she didn't create her own word.
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Because I would have totally changed. It's still probably thematically not so great for younger readers, but just that one word, especially for our scale, bumps it up, and it's too bad because it didn't need it.
It also yanks. It's a moment where you get yanked out of the story for a moment. It's almost like you run up against the wall and you're just, what just happened? It's a jolting moment that doesn't need to be there at all. Especially like
yeah.
You said, she could have just made up a word. Especially, her world is so vivid. There's the maps in the beginning of the book. Usually when you see the maps at the beginning of the book, you kind of glance over it, and sometimes you go back to it, but you're like, I'm not memorizing these. But the way she talks about the way the characters are moving through streets and neighborhoods and areas or districts or whatever it is, it seems like she's actually visited this place. It's really, really vivid.
Yeah. And we'll come back to romance in a second, but I just want to continue talking about her world building, because there is magic. There are people in this world who have magic, but it sort of feels like a science-based magic, which I guess is part of where I'm getting the steampunk vibe from. And it's also very specific magic. So there are these characters of this race of people called Grisha, and there are different types of Grisha, and they have very specific powers. In fact, maybe I'll even read it to you right now. So there are the Corporalki, they're the order of the living and the dead, so heart renders and healers. So half of them make people feel better, and the other half do the opposite. Then there are the Etherealki, the order of summoners, so squallers, infernies, and tide makers. And then the Materialki, the order of fabricators, duress, and alchemy. So the magic is very specific, what each type of Grisha can do. And it's not a cure-all fix like magic can be in some books. Like, for instance, in this book, one of the main characters is a heart render, which means that she works on people's bodies, but she is trained for causing heart attacks or choking people from a distance. She's not trained for healing. So when she's forced to heal, she's not very good at it, and she doesn't do it perfectly because that's not what her train, even though she has the magic, she's not trained in that type of magic, which I thought was really interesting. And there's another character who we discover has some of the magic, but since he's never trained with it, it's not like all of a sudden, oh yes, his magic is there and fixes everything. He hasn't learned it. So it's, anyway, I just like how she had created very specific magical rules and sticks to them.
Yeah, and in general, her characters are a little bit different. Speaking just even about her magical rules being different, her characters are different. And even they're all thugs and outcasts and outlaws, and like they're not good people for the most part, especially our main characters here. Well, not all of them. Kaz, who's kind of the head of this little group of people, we know he's not, he's like a crime lord. So we know he's not a good person. And kind of his, I guess, best friend, love interest, most trusted person thing that they kind of grow the romance between them. But it's not like, oh, I'm going to fix you and everything's going to be okay. Like, they're both flawed people, and they're both, there's a darkness in both of them. And it's just, this is the way they are. And maybe we could find a relationship that can work within our flaws and with all of our, you know, I think you're worth it. And maybe I can get you away from here, but it's not that I'm going to fix you, which is something you sometimes feel a lot like this kind of like do-gooder sense sometimes from these novels. And it's not there. And it's back to the kids who spoke to me after my author visit. That's one of the things that they mentioned, which is funny that they said that. Like, yeah, she's not trying to fix any of them. Like, they're all kind of just, they're all trying to just do their thing. I know I explain it a lot, but it does, in a way, it almost makes it more appealing. Not because people shouldn't be better people, but just because it almost gets less preachy that way, I guess. And you just feel like we're just dealing with real people who are, yeah, who are flawed and who are not, you know, that sometimes a criminal doesn't not want to be a criminal.
And none of them is the Mary Sue type character, which means, you know, just a perfect character. Like you said, they all have flaws. So it's not, oh, okay, you know, this character is going to save the day or this character is going to do the perfect thing. They're all making really tough choices that are morally ambiguous, and it's interesting. And then we didn't talk about romance yet. Romance, as we said before, is a free. There are lots of references to sleeping together. We don't actually see it, but it's referenced a lot. Enough, and also again the brothel stuff, most of anything that has to do with the brothel mostly goes to the violence category because that's not consensual sex, but it still also bleeds over into the romance category. And again, because other characters sleeping together is referenced so much, and there is kissing, and at one point two of the characters strip down and then for warmth, so they're in wet clothes, so they have to strip down and then huddle together under blankets, one of the boys and one of the girls. So they don't have sex at the moment, but they are naked and lying next to each other. So we give romance a 3.
There's also a pretty descriptive, well, not pretty descriptive, but it's like at least a paragraph or two of a kiss that happens between two of the male characters. So if you're not into that kind of thing, just skip the paragraph, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't really take away. Thankfully, even though it's in the book, it doesn't feel central. It's still like the heist and the adventure and that sort of stuff that's the main thing. Even though there are 6 main characters, and surprise, surprise, they all end up as a couple.
Yeah, that was a little. That was kind of like they don't all have to be hooked up with each other. Just. They kind of, like, whoever you're going to hook them up with, I don't care. But they don't all have to be hooked up with each other. Just because you have 6 doesn't mean you have 3 perfect couples. And that's kind of what happened from it anyway. Yeah, that's probably the one kind of annoying. Not annoying, but it was the one thing that you're like, ah, come on. You could do better than that.
Yeah. But otherwise, I really like both of these books.
Yeah.
There's just something about them. And I actually would recommend them older teens and also young adult, well, not YA young adults, but, you know, adults in their 20s or even older. I think you could enjoy these books as an adult as well. It's not the kind of book that adults usually get when they're looking at their own fiction and fantasy, but it's worth the read.
Yeah, definitely dark, definitely a lot of stuff going on, but it's different. And there's a very clever heist situation that happens here, so that's always worth it also.
Yeah, so pick it up from the library. Also, I just wanted to point out that it's literally dark because the book, at least in the hardcover version, the edges of the pages are black. So in case you weren't sure, is this a lighthearted book or not? No, this is a dark book, making it very clear for you.
And the second book has the red pages. They actually made beautiful. These covers are beautiful. They did.
Oh, yeah.
They really printed them. They did a great job on that.
Yeah, if you're trying to bump up your library just in terms of aesthetics, we definitely recommend these books.
Yeah, black on red, red on black, they're sharp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could talk more about it, but, well, funny story, Al. I mean, I think you'll find this really funny. Remember when I said we have lots of food? I sort of meant we're totally out of everything except for canned tuna and olives. So I'm going to Pinterest a recipe because I bet I could make something really good with just canned tuna and olives. But it's going to take a little bit of scrolling.
You know what? It's probably going to be so good that I insist that you can have my part also.
You would do that for me?
Mm-hmm. Canned tuna and olives. You can have all of it.
Oh my gosh. All right. Lovely listeners out there, I just want to point out that not only is Elf lovely on the outside, but she's clearly lovely on the inside. Because look, she's willing to share all of her food with me. And if that isn't true loveliness, then I don't know what is.
Right. And by all the food, we mean the tuna and olive recipe.
Which is all the food that we have right now.
So, okay, excellent point.
So all the food. So, dear lovely and or ugly listeners, we will see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.